Good morning, River Church. Thank you, Andy, for your fantastic intro this morning. I'm really excited to be here today, and I'm excited to talk to you about the next part of the scripture and the theme of our 2021 corporate fast. Let me remind you really quickly what those scriptures are. It's in 2 Chronicles 7, and it's verses 14 through 16. And it says, "If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time." I love this verse. I love the scripture. I love the promises. And I love I'm someone who wants a plan. Like, tell me what you want me to do, Lord. Help me figure out how I can get there and how we can do this. And there's something about this verse that kind of gives me all of that. I want to refer to you first to last week. Last week, Mark talked on humble, and I'm actually going to speak a little bit about on that today. But for a really great full message, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to Mark's message as he kicked off our three-part series on this scripture. And then tune in next week because Nick is going to be bringing a word on turning. And I'm really excited that Nick is the one that gets to do this. He has in talking with him about it, I'm just thrilled to hear what he has to say and what he gets to preach on next week. So be sure to tune in next week. This week is me, and you get to hear me talking about specifically prayer. Pray and seek is what it says in the scripture. And I want to, I'm going to get to that, but I'm going to start first by backing up a little bit further and talking about if my people, because I feel that in order for me to get into the part that I want to talk about, I want to remind you about what the beginning part of the verse says, because it's really important and it's really valuable. And the very first part says, if my people who are called by my name, and we need to figure out who are his people? Who are God's people? Well, it began with Abraham way back in the Old Testament, where established a covenant with Abraham, and God takes his covenants very seriously. So he established this covenant with God, with Abraham and all of his descendants, the Hebrews, the Israelites, and eventually what we understand is the Jewish people. And in the Old Testament, not only did it include them, but it included people like Rahab and Ruth and Uriah the Hittite and Naaman. These were people that were not one of Abraham's direct descendants, but they were people who called on the name of God. And so they became his people. And in the New Testament, there's even more people, as Paul and the apostles and the disciples, they went and shared the good news of Jesus with more and more people. Because essentially, anybody who places their faith in God and calls for his mercy is someone who is called by his name. And so then we become, and we are a part of this covenant with God. Like I said, he takes it very seriously. And the reason that I'm bringing this up and trying to clarify this really specifically is because we've got to understand and if you are a follower of Christ, if you are one who is in this covenant with God, somebody who has placed their faith in God and you call for his mercy, if that is you, then you are who I am speaking to right now. I am who I am speaking to right now. Sometimes we can think, well, that's not me. That's somebody else. Or, well, it sounds really good for all these other people who are really good Christians I don't even know the other things that we can think of, but oftentimes we have a hard time understanding that when God is saying, my people, he is talking about me and he is talking about you specifically, not all of the people of the world. In this particular passage, he's speaking directly to his people. If my people who are called by my name will, and so as we go into the next, as I go into what I'm going to speak on and share on, I want you to just be mindful of that when God is sharing this, he is speaking directly to you. He's speaking directly to me. So the next part says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Now, Mark, like I said, spoke a great word on this last week, and I'm going to whittle down and just kind of condense some of the stuff that he had said. And I want to bring it to you in this way, that to be humble is we have to concede, we have to admit that we cannot save ourselves or change our circumstances in our own power. That is not something that we have the power to do in and of ourselves. Humility is about putting God in his rightful place and me staying in mine. It's when pride comes up, that's when I decide that I know more than God does. And humility is just recognizing, like I said, and conceding and admitting that I actually can't do all of these things in my own power, but he can. We can't save ourselves from our own sin, and that's just like we can't stop a hurricane. We do not have the power in and of ourselves to do these things. And pride sneaks in and says, yes, you can. It says, well, we can save ourselves from our sin if we just work harder, or if we just stop doing it. Well, does that actually ever work? Does it actually ever work to just stop doing it? The thing is that even when I want to discipline myself and I want to, and I know that there is a sin that I want to avoid or I want to be healed from, I can try really hard to fix it, to work harder, do better, do all these things. But in the end, really, I always have to come back to Jesus and say, you are God and I am not. I don't have the power in myself to stop this. I don't have the power in myself to change this, and I need your help. And that's truly what humility is. Pride says, we can heal our land if you vote right or believe right or talk right or act right or whatever. That's where this is again where the pride sneaks in. And humility is just remembering again and again that he is God and I am not. Humility is first, and humility is key, because unless we are able to acknowledge that he is God, the next two parts of the verse become more about praying and seeking God's hand rather than his face. And then it doesn't even make sense to turn from our own ways. So that's why I wanted to reiterate again what humility is, because it's imperative if we're going to move forward in the praying and the seeking. So then the next part, pray. We've actually preached on this several times in the last year, specifically prayer. So I'm not going to get into a long message about prayer again. But I do want to say and remind us that prayer is this external expression, this confession where we are going with God. It's this conversation with this Almighty God. And we are, again, acknowledging. Prayer is coming to him and saying to him, I know that you are God and I am not. I know that you are all powerful and I am not. And I confess that I tend to think that I am. And it's just this conversation and this reminder. The part about seeking is actually what I really want to focus on this morning, because there's something that I hope that as we talk through this, that it will enlighten us. It will be a revelation to us again about what it means to actually seek God. In Psalm 105, verse 4, it says, search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. In Proverbs 8:17, in the Passion Translation, it says, I will show my love to those who passionately love me, for they will search and search continually until they find me. In Jeremiah 29, verses 13 and 14, it's in the NIV, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. So, of course, me being me, I had to look up what does seek mean, actually, because here's several examples of scripture where it's talking about seeking, not only from an outside perspective of saying seek the Lord, but then the Lord is actually saying seek me. And in the Hebrew, it means to search out by any method. And then, of course, I looked in the Greek, and the Greek says it means to seek to find. So what I noticed about these both things is that it's seeking is an active, it's an active thing, an active response. It's an action that we do. It's not a glance and kind of look around. It's an action of actually going after something. It is searching out something by any method that we can. It is seeking and then actually finding what we are looking for. So what's really cool about the core meaning of the word seek, it actually supports the desire that God has to be found. God wants to be found by us, and He encourages us to seek Him and find Him. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, there's probably a lot of people, myself included, that have been super frustrated because we feel like we're seeking God. We feel like that's what we're doing. And then we get frustrated and we struggle because, well, we aren't hearing anything back. Nothing's changing. What is happening? I am seeking. Why isn't anything different? And what that made me think of is, we have to determine, the next step is actually determine what it is that we are seeking. And what I mean specifically is that the scripture very, very specifically says that we are to seek His face. And that's really significant. And so when I was looking this up, I wanted to share with you the difference between seeking God's face and seeking God's hand, because that's something else that also can be talked about in scripture. But in this particular passage, it's talking very specifically about seeking God's face. So I'm going to read to you a scripture that I believe will demonstrate what I'm talking about. In Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, it says this. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked him, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Here's what's significant about this story. So picture yourself in this time. The lepers, the reason that they were adamant and desperate to get healing is because when you had leprosy, not only were you sick and you were physically sick, but you were pretty much banished to away from people, to a colony where you had to live. So your whole life completely changed. And as long as you were sick, and in that time, that was forever, as long as you were sick, you were away from everyone. You were away from your family, away from your all the things that you were used to. So these lepers had heard rumors of what Jesus could do. They knew he was coming, and they all lined up, and they called out to him because they had hope of returning to their families. They had hope of returning to society, to what they were used to, and the hope of, like, really living again. And Jesus healed them all. And it wasn't an instant healing of they stood there and all of a sudden they were healed. It was as they were on their way to the priest, as they walked out what Jesus told them to do, they were healed. But what's interesting is that only one returned to fall at Jesus' feet. Only one, when he discovered that he had been healed, went back to Jesus to thank him and to worship him. Many of us, like the other 9, we struggle to realize that ultimately God is our reward. Ultimately, God is our reward. We have needs just like these lepers do, and we long for the things that God can give us and what God can do for us. I mean, many of us know that God's all powerful, that things come from Him, and that He can do all of these things. We know that. But we tend to keep God still distant. The nine lepers received an external cleansing. They got healed on the outside, and they were satisfied, and that was enough for them. And only one actually believed that Jesus was worthy of honor for restoring his body back to health. And what is really amazing about that is that not only did he receive this, the external healing that he had desired, but he received like a greater work because Jesus healed him on the inside. There's a quote I found when I was looking this up that says, if you seek God's hand, you will miss his face. If you seek his face, you will get his hand also. His face is his presence. His face is his presence, and his hand is what he can do. And the Hebrew word used for face means the part that turns. And it comes from the root that means to turn, to face, appear, and look, okay? So this implies that when we are face to face with God, when we set ourselves to seek his face, become face to face, it's a place of deep intimacy with him. So this is, I have an example of you of what I'm talking, for you, what I'm talking about. So at my house, Mark's in my room, bedroom, shares a wall with our youngest. And there's many nights when we're trying to sleep and we can hear Jack in his room playing, all right? And he doesn't always, not totally always aware of how loud he can be. And so there's been times where I'm trying to go to sleep and I hear him and I'm like pounding on the wall and trying to get him to be quiet. Or, you know, I'll text one of my other kids and say, could you go tell Jack to be quiet? Like, because I, you know, I'm too lazy. I don't want to get in bed. I don't want to have to get me cold, all this stuff. So I'm just staying there, you know, whatever, pounding on the wall. And it doesn't usually change the situation. So the times when I will actually get out of bed and walk down and around to his room, and I will open the door and he will see my face. All of a sudden, everything changes. Partly because my face looks like this, but the other thing is because all of a sudden he has this realization, oh, she's serious. Like she actually really wants me to be quiet. And it made me think of all the times when I was growing up that my parents could yell from the other room, be quiet or do this. And I'm like, uh-huh, okay, yeah, whatever. But then when they came and were face to face, it was like, oh, yep. Yep, that's we'll get on that. We'll get doing that. And honestly, translating now is when we are online or when we shoot a text message to somebody, it can be very different than how we approach and are in relationship with people when we are face to face. You know how you can in your mind and on a text or in an email, you can be really whatever. You might consider it brave or forward or whatever, and it's okay if it's kind of harsh because somebody needs to hear this and they need to know this and they need to hear my opinion or my thoughts or whatever. And we could be a little bit braver and a little bit bolder when we are not face-to-face with somebody. But man, when I have a conversation with somebody that I'm frustrated with and it is person-to-person, face-to-face, boy, it changes me because I can see them, because there's a different intimacy in relationship when we are looking at somebody's face and realizing they're human, they are made in the image of God, and it just changes. It softens us. It can soften us. And honestly, guys, this is the same with God. Who we are when we talk about him versus who we are when we talk with him can be really different. We could say a lot of things about what we think God should do or should say or should be or should feel or why isn't he doing this and why isn't he doing this? But when I truly take the time to sit and listen to him and be face to face with him, man, it changes my perspective because all of a sudden I am seeing the kindness and the goodness and the grace of God, the mercy of God. I am experiencing him in a totally different way, and really it softens me. It makes me kind of relax and have some peace and go, okay, all right, God, my circumstances in my life aren't going the way that I want them to go right now. And I can sit here and tell you all day long what I think you should do. But I'm going to choose to humble myself, confess to you that you are God and I am not. And I will just sit and seek your face because that will that is what is going to change me. And when we're face to face with God, when we're face to face with people, here's what happens. Honest conversation can happen. Reconciliation can happen. And deep relationships are formed or reformed. Seeking God's face is all about seeking a deeper relationship with Him, and it's what He desires. It's what He longs for, and it's what He wants. And truly, when we seek His face, it is what is going to transform us. It's what's going to change us. Because again, it's going to give us that peace. It's going to soften us. I want to remind you of Jeremiah 29, 13 through 14, which says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." He is inviting us. When you seek me, I will be found. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will bring you out of that hard place. Maybe not circumstantially, but out of the hard place in our hearts and our minds, and we could just be softened. When we're face to face with God, there's nowhere to hide. But when I'm looking into the beautiful face of this loving God, then there's actually no need to hide. Many years ago when I was doing youth ministry, that's just for frame of reference, not necessarily anything else, but years ago when we were doing youth ministry, I remember a time very specifically when I was feeling really deep shame about something. And when I sat with the Lord and I pictured Him in my mind, and pictured having a conversation with Him. I was sitting in a chair across from Him, and I know I've shared this story before, but I was sitting in a chair across from Him and looking at Him. But I wasn't looking at His face. I was looking down because I felt shame. And I'm trying to talk to Him like this, and He's sitting here. And the picture I got was that He lifted up His hands and He grabbed the sides of my face. And He moved my face to look at Him in the face. And it was such a tender moment because it went from, you don't need to have shame, you don't need to hide from me. I want you to see the beauty of my face. And as I looked at His hands, I could see the scars on His hands. The symbol that showed me that He died for me and He conquered death and had victory so that I could look at Him in His face, so that I could receive and know the kindness and the compassion and the love of this all-powerful, all-amazing God. And when we seek His face, that's what we get to see. I think oftentimes we can think, if we go to His face, He's not going to be okay with me. And that's hard. That's really hard. And if you feel like that, I want to encourage you to just keep pressing through. Keep pressing through. As we humble ourselves and confess that He is God and we are not, and we pray and seek His face, He is going to be found. He is going to be found. He wants to be found. He wants us to know Him, not just know about Him and not just know what He can do for us, but He wants to be known. And His presence is what changes us. And then, honestly, turning becomes that much easier. I'm not saying it's simple, but turning becomes almost easy because His goodness becomes so much greater. Because when we have a greater understanding of who He is, not what He can do, but we have an understanding of who He is, man, we want to turn from the things that are keeping us from Him. And again, Nick's going to preach an awesome message on that next week. So I want to invite you to pray with me as we think about what this means to seek His face. Jesus, I pray today that we, your people, will humble ourselves. We confess that you are God and we are not. Your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We confess that we often come to you with very specific requests of how you should do things. May we release that right now and learn to trust you as we seek your face and not your hand. Help us to know and understand that you are our great reward. You are the greatest reward. Your presence is enough. And while there are things that we need and want from you, Lord, may we never forget that the giver is far greater than the blessing. Help us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, you guys. I want to encourage you that if you have any prayer requests, or if you've prayed and said, I want to know Jesus this way, and if you want help figuring out what that means and going on that journey and really discovering what it means to seek God's face, I want you to, would you comment below? Would you shoot us an email? Would you let us know so that we can partner with you, we can pray with you, we can reach out to you? We want to connect with you. Because God is not asking us and has never asked us to do this journey alone. And we want to help you on the journey. So thank you guys for being here, and have a great Sunday.